also had this thing, this set of vessels inside of her cupboard called Tupperware. And you could do anything with that. I mean, you could take it out and build sandcastles with it. You could use it in the microwave. You could throw it at your sister. You could do anything with it. And Mom didn't care because it was Tupperware. But as far as I'm concerned, the more practical vessel in the house was the Tupperware, not the fine bone china. And that song is about, what does God get out of you? Are you just behind glass and looks for show, filled with something else so he can't fill you up with what he wants to fill you up with? So there's a good message to that song, and being the day that it is, I think it's a good time to sing it. So I appreciate the ladies putting that together. Proverbs chapter 31, we have the virtuous woman. And this is for all ages. This isn't just for mothers. This is for every lady in this room, and it's even for every person in this room. For the young ladies and the young men, this woman that we're going to read about is the type of woman that you young ladies should desire to be like. And for the young man, this is who you're looking for. So Proverbs chapter 31, it says in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, this prophecy that his mother taught him, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget their law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Strong drink, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth wide, open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? This is a mother writing to a king named Lemuel. We're not sure who it is. Could have been Solomon. But this mother is writing to Lemuel, and she's giving him advice. She talks about alcohol. She talks about poverty. She talks about differences in different situations of life. But then she spends most of the chapter talking to her son about the right kind of a woman that he needs to be looking for. And so it says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arm. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray, and then we'll go on today. Lord, I thank you for the virtuous woman. I thank you that there have been virtuous women in my life, mother, grandmother, wife, daughter. I thank you for the influence that a godly woman has had on so many of us in many different ways. I pray that you'd help us to learn and glean something today. I pray for the young girls in here, that they would pay close attention to what really is important. For the young men as well. For the adult men, that we would appreciate and honor and give thanks and praise for what you've done and gifted us with, and for the women themselves in this room, that we would see the desire amongst all of us to be exactly what your word has for us today, that you just honor and glorify your word through what is said today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. First of all, number one, I want to point out the heart of a virtuous woman. Notice, first of all, the heart of the virtuous woman. It says in verse number 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And verse 30 and 31 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. Number one, concerning the heart of a virtuous woman, she must be a Christian. You're not going to be a virtuous person at all unless you are, first of all, a born-again Christian. John chapter 3 says that we must be born again. I'm not saying that I want to define that, because I think there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but that doesn't mean that they're truly born again. If you're born again, you are saved. You're on your way to heaven. It is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone that will save you. And you must be born again. You can't be born into a family that's good enough to get you to heaven the first time. All of us are born in sin. And it doesn't matter if your parents or your grandparents were wonderful Christians. God has no grandchildren. You must be born again. You must be one of His adopted children yourself. Romans chapter 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so in order to be a virtuous woman, the heart has to be a saved heart. The heart of the virtuous woman, it needs to be a Christian. She must be a Christian. She must be saved and following the Lord in believer's baptism with a desire to grow and to mature. Tonight, I will preach about two women who were a great influence and a godly influence to a young man. It does not say anything positive about that young man's father. But the Bible says that the women in his life, the grandmother and the mother, were a great influence to him. You must be a Christian in order to have the heart of a virtuous woman. So obviously then, young man, if you're looking for a wife, and someday you might be, right now, that might be the last thing on your mind. Wesley's looking at me like, that is the last thing on my mind. But one day that might change. What you need is a virtuous woman. That means a saved woman. You need someone who is a godly woman, someone who is following the Lord and is born again, a saved woman. But also, she is a woman who is aware of her influence. I mentioned, and I'll mention it tonight, concerning Lois and Eunice, the mother and grandmother of Timothy. She is aware of the influence that she has. Without a doubt, moms have a huge influence on their families and their children. Children tend to treat the father the way that mom treats the husband. Children tend to think of things the way mom thinks of things. Children have a huge connection to the way the mom is thinking. And if the mom has bitterness, the children might have bitterness as well. If the mom has this, the children might have, because they spend more time with her than anyone, I would say, practically speaking. And so the great influence, she needs to recognize the influence she has on her family. You speak of a negative influence. I can't help but think of Job in Job chapter 1 and 2. His wife was a negative influence, just a terrible, negative, pessimistic influence. Listen, the heart of the virtuous woman is fully aware of the influence that she has on others. With that in mind, then, she's aware of her own thoughts and the importance of those thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, we'll go back to Proverbs 31 in a minute, but Philippians chapter number 4, her thoughts. She is aware. She is aware of the thinking. Did you know your thoughts are a big deal? Anybody besides me ever been just kind of tooling along and all of a sudden you start to daydream and you end up down this path and it's like, whoa, what? How did I get down here? What am I doing? And you're just jolted by your own thoughts. What am I thinking? And how did I travel down this road? Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. That's full of care or full of anxiety. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? Those are the things that a virtuous person is going to remember to dwell on. Listen, there's so much negativity, and I'm not saying that I want to live in la-la land, la-la-la, and pretend like everything's wonderful. No, that's not what the Bible's saying either. But that we recognize the truth and the virtuousness that we need to focus on. No matter what negative and no matter what someone has done or will do this week, I've got something good to tell you. We can keep our focus on the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I mentioned bitterness a minute ago. A woman who cannot get victory over bitterness in her life continues to rethink thoughts to keep her bitter. You must allow God to uproot that bitterness, and you must check those thoughts at the door. She's aware of her thoughts and her thinking. I appreciate my wife has a very positive spirit. She's not perfect, but she tends to think and be optimistic as much as it's almost disgusting. It reminds me of what Mike Easter said about his wife. He said, my wife's the same way. He said, my wife can come up with some positive over. He said, my wife's the type of woman that could say something at the end of a meeting or something and say, you know, honey, for a fat man, he sure doesn't sweat very much. I mean, just always come up with some positive thing to say for some negative issue, you know? And I just never forgot that. That was a funny thing to me. But that's I can relate because, I can get all grumpy and growly about it. And my wife can somehow figure out that, you know what, there's still something good. All things work together for good. And God is good. And she's aware of her thoughts. Because you know what happens if you're, if you're not aware of your thoughts and you don't allow your thoughts to be in check, eventually your thoughts go from up here, out here. After a while, they start going out here. And now you've contaminated everybody around you. And you know who's around you more than anybody, moms? Your kids. That was an amen. The heart of a virtuous woman is aware of the thoughts. And the Bible tells us that God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so that leads me to the last one. She has, if you go back to Proverbs 31, verse 26, she has a mouth full of wisdom and kindness. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's not two-faced flattery, it's just sincerity. She has a mouth full of wisdom and kindness. This is the heart. See, the Bible says, Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, there is a heart issue when there is a mouth problem. If there's a mouth problem, that's the symptom, not the problem. The symptom is pointing back to the heart. So the heart of the virtuous woman, and we could go all day just talking about the heart. But I want to quickly just point out to you, the heart of the virtuous woman is someone who is able to still focus on the positive. Isaiah 26 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so it is important, ladies and men, that if we're going to have a heart of virtue, we must be aware of some things in our life. If you're not saved, that's number one. You need to be born again. If you're saved, but you're allowing maybe a negative influence, a negative thinking to control the influence you have on others and to taint that. I mentioned a minute ago about Timothy. We don't know that his father was a Christian. It doesn't seem like he was based on what the Bible says. And yet his mother and grandmother's influence was so strong that he chose God over the direction of his father. Aware of her thoughts and a mouth full of wisdom and kindness. Then secondly, we see the heart of the virtuous woman. But now, we see, secondly, the husband of a virtuous woman. Verse 11 and 12 says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. He trusts her to be constructive and not destructive. Back in chapter 14 of Proverbs, it says in verse number 1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The wise woman is constructive. The foolish woman is destructive. The wise woman builds the house. The foolish woman tears it down. Are you constructive or destructive? Hey, you know, there is constructive criticism and then there is destructive criticism. There is the heart whose desire is to build, not to destroy, to edify, not to tear down. And the Bible says that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Can I confess something? I've gotten mad at my wife. And you know why I'm mad at my wife when I've gotten mad at my wife? Because she's right. There have been times when I've jumped to conclusions only to find out I'm wrong. But I'm thankful I don't have a wife who sees me driving over a cliff and saying, you're the husband, dear, I won't say a word. But recognizes the importance of saying something at the right time and being constructive and being a voice. I love what one evangelist preacher says concerning marriage. He said it's kind of like riding a motorcycle, ladies. Your husband's on the front. He's got the throttle. He's got the brake. He's got the steering. He's got every control there is. And you're on the back, and all you can do is hang on. And he says, I don't recommend you reach over the top and try to grab the controls and take control. That's good. That's actually Bible. It's a motorcycle, but it's Bible. Submit to, but he said, I do recommend that you can pray and whisper in his ear and tell him all kinds of opinions that you have about what he's doing. That's perfectly legit. You can't control the mic, but you have a right to say something, and probably a need to. And ladies, you can say the right thing and the wrong thing. We know this. There are men in the Bible who listened to the advice of their wife, and it was not a good thing. And usually the advice is more of a threat. It becomes kind of an ultimatum, and it shouldn't be that. But the wise woman builds her house. The foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The Bible goes on to say concerning her husband that in verse 11, so that he shall have no need of spoil. No need of spoil. Verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. There's nothing in his life that he has to worry about being spoiled. Obviously, we can talk about kids. It is a sin to spoil anything, really. We're not supposed to spoil things. We're supposed to cultivate them. Children should not be spoiled. Grandchildren should not be spoiled. Let me say that again. That sounded good. Grandchildren should not be spoiled. Thank you. This was hard to do, but I said to my parents, look, if you're not going to maintain our rules, we're not bringing them here. And all they could do is say, we taught you that. Now we don't like it, but we taught you that. Somebody said, the reason why grandkids and grandparents get along so well is they have a common enemy. That shouldn't be. And husbands have no need of spoil. I don't want to turn this into a sermon about my wife, but I'm so thankful that when it comes to the dollars, It ain't her that has a problem not spending them right. It's me. It isn't her that's out there just splurging or whatever. I mean, you know, I know some of you guys have wives like this too, but I'll tease her. Just buy the stupid thing. You waste so much fuel driving back and forth to the store waiting for it to go on sale another 10%. Just buy the dumb thing. But that's a blessing to have someone who's frugal and that isn't going to waste your money. It isn't worried about fashions to the point that it doesn't matter. And the credit card's just like, oh, a huge argument because it's out of control. Father's Day's coming. We'll get to that later, ladies. But he has no worry of any spoil. His children aren't going to be spoiled. His finances aren't going to be spoiled. He's not worried about spoil. She will do him good. Praise God for that. And you know what? The Bible says that he wears a crown because of her. Chapter 12 in verse 4, it says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The second half of the verse says, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Bone cancer is a horrible disease. And the Bible likens the woman who is not virtuous and the woman who is making her husband ashamed to be like bone cancer. Rottenness in his bones. You can't count on your bones to hold you up when you have bone cancer. The pain and the agony and the irritation is constant. But the virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Now, young ladies, how would you like to be considered that? You are a crown to your husband. You just make him look good. Otherwise, he's just an ordinary looking guy, but he's wearing a crown and everyone notices he's special because of his crown. Wow, that's what you have the ability to be as a virtuous woman. And because of that, he is respected. And it's obvious as to why. Look at chapter 31, verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. I apologize for keep using my wife as an illustration, but I only have one wife. That's a good thing. A while back, I was in a local business here in town. And as I was writing out the check and he was handing me the bill and I was handing him the check. And he said, you know, your wife's such a blessing. He didn't say blessing. He's not a Christian. But he said, your wife is so special. She's just different. And I thought, he said, she's always smiling. She's such a smile. And then he named one other lady in our church. He said, and she is too. They just have a smile. They just have a smile on their face. And I appreciate that. I appreciate him saying that. And I appreciate the fact, you know, he was telling me, you have a special wife. You have a special lady. And I walked out of there thinking that was a blessing. He did not say he respected me for my smile. He did not really compliment me. He just complimented my wife that was making me look good. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And also, concerning the husband, he praiseth her. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her, and her children praise her too. Dad, I talked about the influence that we have, the mother's influence on the children, but your praise and your adoration for your wife will also affect your children. We need to quit this arguing in front of our kids. We need to quit this slander or this negativity in front of our kids. I don't mean we can't be funny once in a while, but I'm telling you, we need to quit a lot of what we do and the negativity that they see. They need to respect and love and appreciate both parents. What a shame that young people have today for an example. The heart of a virtuous woman, and then the husband of a virtuous woman. And lastly, let's look at the home of a virtuous woman. This covers pretty much most of the chapter. It covers much of what I've said already, but I want to focus on a couple things here. It says in verse 15, "She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens." One of us in my home gets up frequently, goes to bed later, is up before the alarm clock even goes off. Can you guess which one it is? When we were young parents, there was this faint cry. I didn't hear it until after the light was on and someone was walking down the hall. But somebody else was taking care of that faint cry. "She riseth also while as yet night, and giveth meat to her households, and a portion to her maidens." I want to thank my in-laws publicly for this, but my wife thinks she is sinning if she sleeps in. And for the most part, that's probably true. Sleeping in is not a good habit, but there are times when she needs to and deserves it. But this woman is not lazy. Verse 18 says, "She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night." Now, you get the impression that she is a homemaker, and yet she's not just sitting at home, staring at the wall and knitting. She's doing something with her life, and she has some kind of merchandise. She has something that she can do on the side and to help the family out as well. "Her candle goeth not out by night." And back then, of course, they didn't have light switches and light bulbs. They just hand candles, and usually when it got dark, it was time to go to bed, but her candle was still burning late into the hours. And verse 27 says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." She is not idle. On Wednesday morning, we get together for collating, and it is a standard joke. Everyone has heard me say it many times. We'll be there at 9 o'clock, and Miss Wilma might get there at about 10 o'clock. It's just something she's decided she doesn't have to be there for all the time. She's getting ready for other things. She does Anchor Club. Nobody, I think, questions it. But I've always said, and you've always heard me say, she's got her favorite soap opera at home. That's what she's, and as soon as that's over, she'll be here. And everybody knows it's a joke. I'm so thankful it's a joke. I'm so thankful it's not true. I do not need a wife who knows all the latest fashions and glam and glib. I don't need that. I need a wife who is going to be a virtuous woman. Now, I want her to be beautiful, and she is, but I don't need her to worry about the latest trends and fashions and keep up with all this sort of thing. My wife is not on her phone a lot. She's not lazy. She's not idle. And so because of that, the home is a good place to be. Her number one priority is her God-given home and not anything else. We're living in a day where we are told and it is promoted and pushed for women to be, quote, unquote, successful. And the world has their definition of success, and it's different than God's definition of success. The world says, look at me, I'm a career woman. Look at me, I have publicity. Look at me, I have fame and fortune. But behind the scenes is a home that is falling apart. Behind the scenes is a home where children are fornicating instead of getting married first. Behind the scenes, there's all kinds of dirt and garbage going on, and there isn't what it ought to be. Our nation is seeing that now. For the first time ever, we have a first man. The reason why that's wrong is because this nation was built on manly leadership and women being biblical, not less, just biblical. The reason why our nation had men voting only instead of and not allowing women to vote is because there was no need for it. The man was the representation of the home. And if you were to ask the wives back then to vote, they'd just double the vote and vote exactly what their husband was voting. We don't live in that day today. But the home was her number one priority, her God-given family, her God-given home. Something came along about the time I was just a little boy called Women's Liberation. If you want to take a close look around, you realize it didn't liberate anybody. Notice also verse 29 and 30, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Her beauty is not outward, it's inward. That doesn't mean she isn't beautiful outwardly, but her beauty starts on the inside. Young girls, please listen to this. This is so not taught to you. The world and everything around you and the education system and everything around you and every influence that you have outside of your own home and church is telling you and screaming at you that outward beauty is what's important. Girls, let me tell you something. Boys recognize outward beauty. Men recognize inward beauty. Boys are suckers for what they see on the outside. Men recognize what's valuable on the inside. Young ladies, please do not focus all your attention on just what it looks like on the outside. Please recognize what it says in the Bible, verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. And every lady in here, whether they want to admit it or not, has to admit this. You're going to lose the outside stuff. Don't get mad at me. I'm just pointing out the facts. The outside stuff is going to vanish. It's going to sag. It's going to wrinkle. But the inside, that godly inside, doesn't change. In fact, it just gets more pretty, more beautiful. We were doing some work together the other day, and we had some of our young girls from the ones that just sang, some of the ones that just sang, and we had them, and we were putting firewood away, and it's an opportunity to work. And I want to encourage the young men in here, do not fall for the one who just looks good, but the one who knows how to work. And doesn't have to be constantly begged to work, but has an inner drive to want to work and to accomplish. That's a blessing. That's huge. That wants to learn how to cook and sew and do those things and wants to learn how to take care. It's a blessing. I realize not all girls grow up that way. My mom didn't grow up that way. My mom's parents divorced. My mom ended up growing up in her father was a doctor. He was a member of the country club. My mom can golf and play tennis better than probably anybody in this room. And she's in her 70s. My mom knows all kinds. I mean, the social life, my mom, I mean, that's what she understood. She didn't know some of the homemaking side of things. My father came from a home where his mother was like a seamstress, I mean, and a cook extraordinaire. And so you talk about an interesting combination. They still joke about the time my dad asked my mom to fix his socks. His mother used to fix his socks. My mom did the best she could. She took that sock, she folded it over like that, and sewed a great big wad in the sock, and then gave it to him. Gave him a huge blister. Listen, that kind of stuff can be lived through. They're still married. It's not the end of the world. However, our society pushes against that. Our society preaches sports and preaches glam and preaches speech and stage production. That's what our society preaches as valuable. As if dollars make people happy. Name somebody you know who is happy because of their dollars and their fame. I mean, truly. Her clothing isn't worldly, it's godly. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. The Bible talks about modest apparel. Again, the drive and the push is for women to be alluring in the outward. Don't fall for that. That's not what's going to last. And then we'll just stop for the sake of time, but her children will recognize her value as well. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I'm thankful for some virtuous women in my life. They didn't all grow up even with the Word of God. My mom did not grow up with the Word of God. But I'm thankful that there was a point in time in her life as an adult woman where she said, I'm going to let God have control of this area of my life. I'm going to give this over to God. I'm going to lay this on the altar and not take it back again. I'm going to allow God to be number one and my husband to lead me as he ought. My wife, the same way. I'm so thankful that I have a wife who was raised in her later years in a Christian home and does have these qualities that we talked about today. I'm thankful that she had a great influence on our daughter and the type of daughter that the Lord gave us. We praise the Lord for how she was reared. I want to encourage you, it's never too late. Tonight, again, as I said, we'll talk about grandmothers. It's never too late. It's never too late. Do you know that the Bible talks about women who are not necessarily the mothers of someone, yet having a great influence on the young women in the church? It is never too late to be a godly example and a godly influence. I praise God for the ladies in my life who were not my mother or my grandmother, and yet they were great godly women. And we've had the funerals of some of them here. And they're in heaven today, but they were great examples and testimony to me and a testimony to my family. Who can find a virtuous woman? I dare say you're not going to find it in the political world or in the world of Hollywood or sports. But you will find it in the Bible-believing churches of America and around the world. You will find it where you find the Word of God and people who are taking it seriously. You want to be a blessing to your husband and a blessing to your family, and ultimately you want to receive a blessing? Be the virtuous woman. Desire to help your wife to be the virtuous woman. I remember years ago my father gave my mom this embroidery. It was, I don't know if it's called embroidery. I don't know what you call it. It was special fine stitching, and it was framed. And it was Proverbs chapter 31, all illustrated, out, hanging on the wall. If I'm not mistaken, it's still hanging on the wall right now in their home. And as a young man, I would read Proverbs every day. Today is the 8th, so I would have read Proverbs chapter 8. Tomorrow, Proverbs chapter 9. And I'd read the 31 chapters of Proverbs every day of the month. And then go back at the beginning of the month and start over. And through the influence of the teaching and preaching and also my own parents, but especially Proverbs, when I met my wife, I recognized her because I've been reading about her for a long time. Who can find a virtuous woman? Read about her. Get to know God and He'll lead you to one. And vice versa. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity to open it. Thank you for the godly examples that we have in this room and that we have in our lives. Help us to be humble. Help us to change course. Help us to call it what it is when it really isn't worth much. Help us to focus on what is worth much. More desired than rubies. More valuable than favor. Lord, help us to recognize what matters and to pass that on to the next generation who so desperately needs to see that. Lord, I thank you for the virtuous people you've placed in my life, and I pray that it would be the desire of our heart that we would be the virtuous parents, the virtuous grandparents, the virtuous people in this community. as we follow your will rather than the world's way of doing things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.